What's going on, Kim Fu? Welcome back to another episode of Key to the City Podcast. It's your favorite Kim Fu, Keone G, and we are back with another episode. Appreciate everybody out there that's been supporting, as always, liking, sharing, commenting, telling your mom and them, whatever you've been doing, I show enough. Appreciate you. Continue to give you quality content with quality guests, and this episode is for everybody because we need a little inspiration and motivation in our lives right now, especially during these past 2 years with everything that's been going on. So I think we're going to get that today. You're going to hear a story of triumph and overcoming your obstacles. The queen that we have on the show today has overcome many obstacles in her life. Stroke, cancer, rape survivor, you name it. She's been through it. Rough childhood, rough upbringing, but she didn't let that stop her. She continued to pursue greatness, and that she has achieved, and she's definitely beating the odds by not only overcoming her personal challenges, but inspiring others to do so as well. So we'll be talking with her today. We want to salute this queen on her journey and everything that she's doing to give back and inspiring the next generation. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Kim Fu, welcome to the city, the Queen Lynn Jasames. What's going on, Queen?
Well, first, let me tell you, thank you. I appreciate it. I checked out this podcast, and I just love what you guys are doing. So I appreciate the opportunity to be able to have my energy and be blessed with your energy on this platform. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. We're honored to have you. We're definitely blessed to have your energy. Based on the research that I've done on you, the story is just one that can inspire the person that's at the lowest point of their life to get up and just continue to keep pushing forward, because you never know what tomorrow may hold. So, but before we get into all that, how your day going so far?
It's been good, hanging out with my baby boy. I have 5 sons, and I have a younger one that's 12, and he had a football game today. So today's been a blessing. Been a blessing.
5 sons. See, that right there in itself takes strength.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Where are you originally from? Tell my audience.
I'm actually from LA, California.
Okay.
West Coast. That's home.
Mm-hmm. I love LA. And now you're currently in Nevada?
Yes, I'm in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Las Vegas, LA to Las Vegas. I say I wanted to live in LA. That's like my dream, but I can't afford to pay $800,000 for a matchbox.
Right, exactly.
It's tough out there. So this queen, like I say, she's a survivor of all these terrible things, but she's also a motivator, an author, a trainer, a speaker, youth advocate, and she's accomplished so much. I want to have you give my audience just a brief background on your history, where you come from, some of the things you went through in your childhood, and how it's ultimately put you on the path that you're on now.
Okay, well, let's see. Sometimes you don't even know where to begin, but I grew up kind of rough. Grew up in a home with an addict. My mom was an addict, mm-hmm. which landed me and my sisters into foster care. But I entered foster care at 14 with a baby. I had my first son at 14 years old. I aged out of foster care, and I had a son at 16, and I had another son at 17. But I entered foster care with no credits in the 9th grade, and I still graduated on time with my senior class at 17 years old. Wow. So I did accomplish that, left foster care, got into hotel work, didn't really like it. Had my 4th son by the time I was 20. Me and his dad moved to California. He was born 3 pounds, 4 ounces, which I never talk about the trauma of having a premature baby ever. Mm-hmm. And after that, I said, I cannot raise these children on a regular job and give them a life that I want them to have. So I ended up going to school, going to college, got my AA degree, went on to get a bachelor's degree And I went on to get a master's degree later. My spiritual number is 7. So I had my third son at 17 and graduated, got my AA degree in 97, got my bachelor's degree. No, I got my bachelor's degree in 97 and got my MBA degree in 2007. So those are my numbers. I should go on and on about my numbers, but very spiritual. Thank God for the things that have happened in my life. I went on to work for the Department of Family Services. Been with them since 1996, even though I know I look like I'm about 12.
Absolutely. I've been
with them since 96. So I'm very proud of that, because for foster children and teen moms, I talk about beating the odds, because all the odds were against me and my sons, all of them. My oldest son, mother, was 14 years old, but he graduated on time with his senior class and with honors. All my children graduated on time. Never saw the juvenile justice system ever. Thank God for that. Yeah, and they are fine young men. So blessed to have them. Grateful. I have 2 grandchildren and 2 goddaughters. But just went on to get into me and my oldest son. He's the founder of the nonprofit Super Inc. We went on and started our Super Inc. We actually did our first backpack drive with Kevin Hart when he got the keys to the city in 2013. We did our first backpack drive with Kevin Hart. So we've been blessed. We got into doing Christmas drives, Thanksgiving drives, backpacks, doing workshops for youth, things like that. So just blessed in that area. Through the county, I was with the CPS for over 20-something years, Child Haven for a couple of years, and now I've been training for the county for a couple of years. So I love what I do. Is why I could do it so long. My company is just Sames Inc., where I've authored 3 books. I'm disappointed because they're not sitting here with me. I got 3 books. 2 of them are out right now. That's I sell on my own website. Then I'm getting ready to release another book. Talks about choices. And I got into training. I train on trauma. I train on coping skills. I train in leadership. My trainings are definitely from a personal perspective, where you clearly understand and identify. The biggest question people usually ask me with all that I've been through, how did I do it? Like, what? How did you do it?
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when I really sat back and thought about it, my second book is How to Beat the Odds from A to Z. And it talks in depth and gives you stories about how to use basic values, values and beliefs, like your choices, your attitude. And I share stories so you can see what I'm talking about, like what it looks like. So one day I thought about, what are some things that up until now in you writing this book, how did you get there? What are some key points that in your life, because you won't use them all at once, but some defining moments, what did you have to do? It was Pierce. I had to be disciplined. I use 2 words in my book that people are not really familiar with, so I can explain what they mean. Mm-hmm. It's only because we need to increase our vocabulary. So when I do trainings with young people, I have affirmations, and one of the affirmations is in there. And I'll have them read the affirmation at the beginning, and then I'll ask everybody, you have any questions? Everybody okay? And they'll all say, yeah. Then I'll have them read the affirmation again. And then I'll say, any questions? And then they'll usually say no. And I'll say, well, somebody tell me what xenodokyo mean. And everybody like, wait, what? And I'm like, tell me, somebody gotta know, because nobody have any questions. And it's a moment to teach that you always ask a question if you don't understand a word. And most people don't know what xenodokyo is. And we just need to add to our vocabulary and understand what it means to be xenodokyo, because it's a part of our language. And it's not a hard word. It's just a word we don't use all the time. And so it's in my book. And usually you have an opportunity to win a free book, or I have a fragrance line I don't really talk about. But it's an opportunity. It's, if somebody ever asks me what it means, they're going to get something. Because
what? I was about to ask what it means.
It's being a very nice, kind person when you're xenodokyo.
Xenodokyo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Be very nice and to be very kind. And that's something I take pride in with people. It's important that we never know. I share a story of being in the elevator with a lady, but I didn't know she was going to interview me. And she doesn't have what you would call a very approachable appearance. Mm-hmm. And when I passed her by the hallway first, I didn't know what to say either, because her appearance is kind of not inviting. Okay. Sure. But when I seen her coming, kind of got a little, so I was like, hey, and I was, you know, because I'm a friendly person. And when I got in my interview, she was in my interview, and she said, most people don't smile and speak with a smile. Most people just stare at me. And she said, we need more people like you in the world, because you, it was a genuine high, you know, it wasn't coming from a place like it was forced, she said. And I got the job. So yeah. I think it's important we be nice no matter who it is. You never know. Sometimes we see people coming down or up, but you never know where they could take you.
Your entire journey, how did it affect your mental health? We don't talk about that a lot when we go through traumas in our lives. And, you know, I tell people all the time, you don't have to be in the military to experience PTSD. It's all around us. So how did you maintain your mental health during your tough times?
Well, I do talk about having a spiritual practice, because I do understand everybody have their own religion or spiritual practice or their way of connecting. So I talk about having a spiritual practice, because most people who have spiritual practice, they can get through much longer, survive stuff much longer, because we all need some form of hope. Mm-hmm. And it started when I was very young, because I had to have somebody. I'm talk about God. Mm-hmm. I had to have something or somebody that I could reach out to when I was crying, but with a sense of hope. And spirituality gives you a foundation for a spiritual practice. It gives you a sense of hope, and we all need hope. And so my hope, and I'm gonna tell you, you know, you grow up and you hear people saying stuff all the time, like, you know, I always thought I was, you know, want to do great things, big things. I always thought I was different. Well, I would do things like Oprah Winfrey name is different. Ayanna Van Zandt name is different. So I would be like, well, I must be destined for greatness, because my name is different. You know, it's not a common name. And so I would do little things like that. But definitely my spiritual practice, definitely admitting and accepting and welcoming things that has happened instead of denying them. I did have a termination, which we don't talk about a lot, at one point in my life. And when I started doing trainings on the impacts that having an abortion that they have on women, it's not rarely talked about. I've had women, CEOs, call me, and whole life turned around after I talked about the impacts of trauma, because we do carry a lot of shame. And if we think we didn't tell anybody, we don't understand, like, why am I shameful? It's women carrying that. It's been carrying it for years, but they didn't understand. It's not on the clinic wall when you walk in. These are the things, the characteristics of something can happen to you or you can experience personally just as a result of once you make this decision. We're not taught about that. And as women, we already, we deal with a lot of different things. And when we have something like that happen to us, and we spiritual, first, we automatically, you know, any day now we might get struck down, right? Because we did something that goes even against our own beliefs. And then the shame we put on ourselves, other people don't have to do it the way we, so the self-talk. And then when you have an abortion, I'm just going to give you three main ones. Suicide ideation comes with it. Sometimes self-hatred, a lot of crying, because it's internal. And the things that it does to us internally, it's a lot of self-damage. Because a lot of us, we don't tell, we don't share that we had abortions. Women are carrying having abortions. They don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. Depression, anxiety, PTSD. Suicide ideation is a huge one, because some people, when you're spiritual, it's really hard to accept. But what I learned and I talk about is forgiveness starts with you. You know how they say faith without works is dead? So I had to forgive myself. And when I forgave myself, I felt like God said, now I got you. If you can forgive yourself, you allow me in. And I process it in my first book, in my second book, It's Okay to Cry When the Odds Are Against You. I talk about that portion. I process everything I had to do. I had to name her. I thought it was a girl, like, because when it come up, I would be broken, and I had to release myself from that. So, and just my coping skills, that's a huge one. When you're dealing and navigating through trauma, a lot of people want to tell us, you know, how to cope, but we know how to cope. Anybody who get up every day, we know how to cope. I believe in counselors and therapists and life coaches. I do. And I believe they are to help us tap into the strengths we already have and help us enhance them. So for me, my coping skills was huge. I talk about crying, nail biting. I use sex as a coping skill. I was 17 years old with a baby, with three babies. And so I talk from that perspective, and just I teach people to talk about, what do you do? You know, I had a lady tell me, if I could tell you the story real quick, she used to love me to bring her word search books. And I would be just buy them, because they would be at the dollar store. So I would take her a stack. And one day she was real upset and was going to do drugs. And summarizes, she didn't do the drugs. And I asked her, what did she do? And she's like, well, I did them coping, them word search books. And I was like, well, what else did you do? And she would be like, well, you used to tell me to watch funny movies when I was sad. You know, and I'm like, what else? She said, well, shit, I fell asleep, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. And I said, you use your coping skills. And she cried like a baby because nobody ever told her she had them. They tell her, go read. And she was like, I don't know how to read. And she was like, I don't like to write. I don't even know how to spell. And people tell her, go journal. So it's important that we teach people to tap into their strengths and we help them enhance them.
Absolutely.
So that was my biggest thing, using my coping skills. I'm a reader, writer, and a crier.
That's important, though. And I like the way you put it in those terms, using your coping skills, because most of the time we have a tendency, and I know what I've done in the past, to just fall into liquor or drugs or something that's going to get us through the day.
Yeah. So we talk about unhealthy ones. You know, we do.
Yeah.
We talk about, I'm going to tell you what's interesting. I did a camp 2 weeks ago, and a young guy, we processed some coping skills, and he said he smoked weed, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, what do you do when you smoke weed? Because we're still doing something while we're smoking weed. He said, I do push-ups. I was like, well, you know, I said, well, you know, exercise is a coping skill, right? And he started laughing, but it made him feel good because he was like, dang, I'm thinking I'm doing all this bad stuff and push-ups, good stuff. And that's what we need to do, bring out the strengths. Like, we have what we need. We need somebody to help us cultivate them. And that's why I'm blessed. Thank God.
I love that. Kind of staying on the topic of abortion right quick. You know, it's recent, it's been like an attack nationwide on women's bodies. Where the government wants to infiltrate and prevent you from making your own choices. What do you stand on that as far as women being able to make the choice to have an abortion, should they decide to, or if they're a victim of rape or incest or anything like that? Where do you stand on that topic?
My position is I don't agree with anybody forcing anybody to do what they want to do with their own body. Mm-hmm. I'm very spiritual, and trust me, my abortion traumatized me, and maybe people may feel like, well, she only said that because she's done it. It's not from that perspective. It's forcing me to do something that I may not want to do with my body. That's too much control over women in general. Like, for someone to come in to tell me, and it's going to be detrimental in the event that something is put in place. Because when we really want to do something and make up our mind to do something, nothing stops us. And that's human nature. And sometimes people are going to be put in extreme situations. And that's what I don't want to see happen to women. We've been through enough, we've gone through enough, but to be in a situation where now someone's controlling our bodies, that's not fair.
That's tough. Yeah. And usually it's all majority men don't know nothing about a woman's body but trying to intercede on their behalf.
But they don't even consider, like, if you could have been aborted. You could have been. So your mom was given a choice. She still choice. It was her choice to keep you and have you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my position on it. Is that I don't want to see no woman put in a position where she's forced to make a decision because she was forced to, not by her own free will.
I'm right there with you on that.
I'm gonna tell you personally, it's enough mental damage just to go through it in the first place.
So
we already gone. You know, if you want to feel like we need to pay or whatever, I don't call it that, but from someone's perspective, or to feel like, you know, you want to, it's a fetus, you know, but to be forced, that's tough. They're not women, you know, and maybe the women who's behind it don't understand the psychology behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be very unfortunate for women. That'll be a setback for us.
I definitely agree. What are the next steps for Lynn Jasames? What do you see yourself doing next? Let's say over the next 5 years, what's your goal?
What are you trying to accomplish? I definitely want to increase my training platform. So I train outside of the Department of Family Services because I train prospective foster, adoptive and foster parents. So I train in that area. So that's what I do 3 days a week for Department of Family Service. Outside of the county is when I do my talk more about trauma training, talk more about leadership training. I went to do some leadership training. Like, people don't even know I trained for the Coast Guard in, out of California. Because I'm really kind of private at the same time, and I so treasure what I do. I had an event every month this year and haven't really shared a lot of it. I do apologize. Let me say that I have not been on social media for a couple of days because I'm in a transition in my life, spiritual and personal development. So when I come back, presence definitely will be different. I'm grateful for the things that God is definitely doing in my life. You just don't know what people be going through, but when God does things and put things in your path, it's a blessing. But I'm getting ready to release a book called Choices. I'm getting ready to do it with, his name is Alan Maxwell. He's a he owns a company called Omni2Max. Me and him also is on, he's on the board for the Eagles, which is a nonprofit organization. We work with a lot of at-risk youth and foster children through that organization. Very influential. We work with Just in Time, who's out of San Diego, California as well. Very huge organization. But continue to write books, continue to train, increase my training platform more. I do have something I will share with you, and you've heard it first on this podcast. But
exclusive.
I do have a TV show coming out about trauma.
Oh, wow.
And throughout the show, it is designed for as you hear me speaking with my guests, you will be able to watch the show and have personal insight to what's going on with yourself. Yes.
Are we ready to see that? We got network information, anything?
Not now. Okay. Not yet. But it's coming. Yeah.
We'll be looking forward to it. Just a couple more questions. Do you get any feedback or like follow-ups from someone that may have saw your content or know your story? Do they ever reach out to you saying how it's impacted their lives?
Yeah. I'm just like my DM, oh my God. And then I tapped into TikTok early this year for the first time.
I see.
And TikTok, that platform, but the people on that platform is very different than Facebook and Instagram. The level of support and the way they're open about expressing the way you've helped them and how they look forward to your content and how you've inspired them, and very empowering too. And I haven't even used it as a platform to sell my books. Not at all. No. It's just I give keys every day about, you know, overcoming trauma. I share a little bit of stuff that I might go through. Keep them very short, but all the time in my DM. Mm-hmm. On all my platforms, just people like, oh my God, you inspire me, and thank you, and don't stop, and your videos are huge. And I've had people on LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is more a professional platform that I've did business with. Because of LinkedIn. So I've been very blessed. I'm telling you, God is really good to me and my family.
And lastly, would you say that you've identified your purpose?
Yes, I have. And I always thought I did. And I thought it was writing, but it's training. Training trauma. When I did, I went to do a training, a leadership trauma training for Omni2Max. And a lot of those people have been in their jobs or careers, have been doing what they've been doing 20, 30 years. And more than one of them was like, I'm not going to lie. You came in here, he was like leadership training. And they were like, I know everything I need to know about leadership. This was their perspective. And they was like, okay, here we go. You know, and then they said they had never heard leadership training from that perspective.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, oh my goodness. I mean, I just love everything you're doing.
Thank you.
You've overcome. Nobody should have no excuses. After this episode, I don't want to hear nothing. No excuses.
And you know what's funny? My oldest son, he used to be like, Mom, you're so nice. He used to be like, you know, you need to be firm in saying, you know, there's no excuses. You know, you need to be firm because you speak from a place of truth. You didn't let anything stop you from being able to accomplish the things that you've accomplished. Like when I go do trainings for young people, depending on my platform, yeah, I'll show pictures with, you know, Beyonce Knowles' father and Kimberly Elise, just not to brag. I need to impress upon them. You don't know whose presence you're going to be in if you're pursuing a certain path. And I don't promote or brag about Les Brown writing the forward to my book, It's Okay to Cry When the Odds Are Against You. Very amazing man. Got to work on his platinum speaking platform for almost 2 years. And genuine spirit. I watched how I feel like God makes a way for him to move around this earth without being overwhelmed. I watched it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good point. I have noticed that. You're right about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did learn once you get on the inside, the way they move, you have to be on the inside to know how a lot of people move at that mm-hmm. level. But even at that level, you still who you are, and it can become overwhelming. And I watched him, and he's good to people, and he wants to touch and talk and interact and take pictures with everybody, and it's just natural. Mm-hmm. But I watched him, and I've watched him be energy be one way, and then after he delivers a speech and get finished, I watched it, you know, he turns it up, and then after it's over, I see him shift, but I'm like, dang, he hails that energy in the room so good. I aspire to have that too.
I can see yourself doing the same thing.
Thank you.
You're well on your way. And we appreciate you stopping through the city. I know that my audience was inspired with all the major keys you dropped this evening. And you definitely deserve your key to the city. And we've got it here first. So we appreciate you, Queen. And tell my audience how they can keep up with you, follow you.
My website is scrolling on the screen.
There you go. You see it right there.
Dot Lynn with an E, jasames.com. Lynn, LYNNE, jasames, JASAMES. Mm-hmm. My hashtags, well, my social media. I'm at I am Lynn Jasames on all my social media. Yeah, I am Lynn Jasames. My YouTube is Lynn Jasames, so it's just Lynn Jasames, but everything else is I am Lynn Jasames at I am Lynn Jasames. And that's how you can find me. My links is through my website as well. And I got some good stuff. I'm finna release a new website. It's gonna come out. You're just working. I got a new website coming out. But what I did with my website is I'm finna put some keys on my website that when you go to the website, you'll be able to access those keys.
Okay. We love it, and we're definitely looking forward to it. We love keys on this platform.
Yes.
Well, we appreciate you stopping through.
Looking forward to coming back and telling you what has shifted and changed.
We definitely got to do that. We definitely got to have a follow-up. So, yeah, I normally do like 52 episodes a season.
Okay.
So we definitely have to bring you back and get a follow-up from you.
Now, why 52? You know I'd have made that 7, right? Why 52?
Well, I was just trying to narrow it down to if I did like one episode per week, that would give me a year's worth of content.
Love it. Okay.
But I kind of got to a point where I'm doing 2 per week, so I kind of cut down the amount of time. I can do a year in like 6 months and then give me 6 months to recover and plan for something new. That's how I think of it. I'm gonna try to switch
that. You just gave somebody some keys, though.
Hey,
you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, that's that growth mindset, and that's that thought leaders. That's how thought leaders think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that because you know sometimes, especially in my community, if you're asking somebody for advice or the keys or the gems for the next step, they don't want to share their plug with you. They don't want to share their information with you, but. You know, I don't have no problem giving it away if it's going to help somebody else.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, it's just to be able to do that.
Gave me something to reflect on. I'm like, that was good. That was good. Yeah.
Put that in
my back pocket. Next interview, you're going to be like, what you been doing? I was like, I got 6 months worth of content.
Yeah. Absolutely. Already ready to go.
Six months worth of TV shows in the pocket.
In the pocket. That's how you go. And also while they are doing their thing, those 6 episodes, you could be behind the scenes either planning for something else or, you know, taking your break or whatever you want to do.
Yeah. You know, the thing is people don't understand when you say, when you don't plan. If you don't plan, you plan to fail. Did I say it right?
If you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Yes, that's a real thing. Because I'm guilty of that. As much success I've had,
absolutely.
I can see areas in my life where there it was. It was that failing to plan.
And a lot of procrastination.
Yeah, but you know what procrastination means, right?
What?
It's just not that important to you right now.
Mm. Yeah, on my toes.
So it feel different if I tell you, oh, it's just not important to you right now. You ain't procrastinating. It's not important. It's like,
because I want to say it is important.
You do. If it wasn't, you wouldn't procrastinate on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You slap me across my face with that.
Yeah. Mm. We gonna, you be giving out keys, so it's not gonna stop.
Yeah. We gotta end it on that one, man. Yeah. That was beautiful. Well, I appreciate everybody that tuned in to this episode. Y'all follow, like, share, subscribe to the Queen Lynn, the Sam's page, also the Key to the City podcast. We're gonna keep doing positive things and keep pushing, and we're gonna get through this thing together. You heard me. I'm your favorite kinfolk, Yoni G. She is the Queen Lynn, the Sam's. Y'all check it out. This has been another episode of Key to the City. We're gone. Peace, love, blessings.
Good night.
Good night.
Fuck!